Welcome back to Arts About, everybody.
Show about art that's a work of art in itself. And good morning, Comrade Bailey.
Thank you, John. Arts About is, of course, brought to you by the generosity of the McClelland Gallery and Sculpture Park and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank Studio. And you know what? It's been such a whirlwind week. In fact, it's been a whirlwind month and a very, very surprised result. So I really would love to thank all the voters in Dunkley that saw fit to put me in my place and
just
vote me as a...
point out, Sally, that in fact that hasn't happened yet. This is a pre-record.
Oh.
You're not exactly elected into government yet, but...
Let's hope that you are. Let's hope that I am, actually. Sorry, I was daydreaming there just
this,
for a moment. I
in other words, have to deal with the time-space continuum somehow.
That's true.
And one way of doing that, I guess, is fessing up to it being a pre-record this week.
Yes.
And, so what we're talking about hasn't actually happened yet.
I know. No, of course. So I was a little confused. Forgive me, everybody. Okay, so what we do have this week, because it's been such a busy week, and as John says, we're pre-recording it, but we are talking with Lauren Simmons, and she's a local performance artist who is participating in a group exhibition in Brunswick. The exhibition is called Metanoia. Her part of it is called Unseen, so she's going to tell us a little bit about that. We're also going to be talking with Victoria Ryle about a children's workshop that's going to be held out at the Abbotsford Convent that combines children and publishing and so on. It's called the Grand Imaginarium, so we'll find out what that is a little bit later.
Down in Abbotsford on the river there.
Yeah, that beautiful, beautiful arts precinct.
Yes, which was, of course, a beautiful, beautiful monastery or convent, I think,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Wonderful things go on down there. So we're going to hear a little bit about that.
My other brother had a studio there for a while.
Really?
Yeah, my elder brother.
Oh, I love those buildings. Is he a painter?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What is it about you Bairds?
Don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's... what are you going to talk to us about today, John?
Ah, the Ron of Argyle and heading out of Port Phillip.
The beautiful Ron of Argyle.
Up the coast of Australia many years ago with a... handsome crew of men.
I've been on that boat many times, actually. Yes, it's a beautiful boat.
It is.
Okay. Well, that'll be nice. I look forward to that. I assume Cliff is coming in. We haven't heard otherwise.
No.
So while we get the show on the road, in fact, while we get Lauren on the phone, here's a track called by Spearhead called 100,000 Miles. It's a little bit different to our usual.
I think I can bring it to mind. There it is.
Bit of funk. Metanoia is an exhibition on at the Mechanics Institute in Brunswick with a program committed to diversity and innovation in contemporary performance. And it's showcasing some avant-garde performance pieces, and one of them is called Unseen, and it's by our next guest, local Lauren Simmons. It says in the exhibition, Lauren, that you are inspired by the unseen laws of nature. Hello, welcome to Arts About.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks for talking to us today on Arts About. Unseen laws of nature. Why are they inspiring you, Lauren?
Well, I've been inspired by nature just as an artist. You know, it's often a subject in artist work. But for this work, I'm very interested in finding ways to connect myself and my audience with our... sort of fragile qualities in our scheme in things, basically as humans, where, you know, in our world we've been quite absorbed and quite detached from nature, and I'm very interested in bringing myself and my audience back to an awareness of those things. And in this work I'm kind of looking at things like the wind and currents and magnetism, and things that are constantly around us that have an effect upon us and that even move through us that we're unaware of.
Yes.
So I'm using that as inspiration to this work and creating a lot of visual effects for this live work around those themes.
Now, performance art, is performance art your main thing? Are you an actor, or are you a sculptor, or are you both?
It's a good question. I'm a visual artist. I study visual art, painting and drawing, and have sort of moved beyond that as the final point for my work these days. And I, I still draw and paint, but I do a lot of installation and sculpture. And have, in I guess, an attempt to try and expand my work and grow and connect and communicate my ideas with my audience. I've been using performance as part of that. And this work is a live work, which is, I guess, maybe quite strange for some people, but it's, mm-hmm. it's very exciting, and it combines elements of dance and theatre. It's a great medium.
So Metanoia, it's the name of the exhibition or a collection of works that are going to be on at the Institute. What are the dates? It's 25th of June, 26th so and 20th, and 8th, 9th of July.
Yeah, there's a live art program, and that the whole program starts this weekend.
Yep.
So it opened last night,
yes.
So 26th of June, and goes to the 6th of August. But my work in particular will be on the 9th and 10th of July.
So each of the artists, because there's quite a few, I'm not sure exactly how many of them, but there's quite a few artists. So does everybody get a night or a series of evenings? Yes.
Yeah, so some people are doing three shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just had, you know, a show open last night, and then there'll be an exhibition on to go throughout the entire season. It was part of that work that opened last night, and then there's another work happening this coming on the 1st and 3rd of July, New York Baby Rara, and then there's another work following that. So there's something that keeps on. There's something for everybody, and all the artists come from different backgrounds as well. So,
well, actually, interesting, just as you're saying that, I'm looking down the list of them there, and I see a piece called The Spectre of Death Looms, Despite the Variable Messages Being Inevitable,
yes.
a.k.a. The Chairs, directed by Matthew Ady, who was a lighting director on a theatre production that I worked on. So, as I see, I guess they are coming from all sorts of different areas.
Yes.
So tell me about Metanoia. Do you know much about, is Metanoia a collective of artists, or is it a single person who's got is Metanoia the concept? I don't know what the title is.
So Metanoia is a venue, and it's in Brunswick, and it's where the old Mechanics
Institute. Oh, that's the name of the venue.
Yeah, so it's the name, and it has a diverse range of programs, and this program that I'm in is the Live Work program. And they do show lots of work throughout the year, from theatre to dance. There'll be a fringe festival season as well.
Yep.
So there's a lot happening. The live art seasons, from what I'm told, is a highlight in their program.
Now, I believe you live down on the Mornington Peninsula.
Yeah, I do. I love it.
Do you? Have you been down here a long time?
Almost a year.
Yeah, it's pretty fabulous, isn't it? We rather like it down here as well. And how did you get involved in this particular exhibition?
I live in Melbourne and grown up in Melbourne, so I've got a lot of connections with Melbourne, and I often travel up to Melbourne to do work and have shows and that kind of thing. Spend a lot of time in the studio and developing ideas at my place on the peninsula, but I often come up to Melbourne to present work and collaborate with
There's a lot more venues, aren't there?
Yeah, there are.
One thing I wanted to ask you about before we go is I understand that you're going off to do a residency in a very cold place just in the next couple of months. What's that? Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I'm going off to a residency in Iceland in September.
Have you ever been to Iceland before?
No, that's the reason.
How exciting.
Yeah, so that's going to be great. It'll be an opportunity to explore new ideas in my work and a new place, and get a lot of influences from Iceland and hopefully see some of Europe.
It's a residency where? What kind of a place are you a resident in?
I'm at a place called Sim, which is in Reykjavik,
yep.
in the centre of Iceland, or the main capital city. And the place I'm at is an old dairy. This is what I've been told. And it's a large building that houses artists. Generally, there's about, I think there's 20 artists. That work there, and then there's a residential space for international artists to go and do a residency there.
What a wonderful opportunity. When are you heading off there?
Late August.
Late August, after you finish this production down at Metanoia. Well, it's very exciting. I think it's a fascinating thing. I'll be really interested to see your work. And Metanoia runs, everybody, between the 25th of June and the 6th of August. It's at the Mechanics Institute in Brunswick, which is in Sydney Road. And you can see a whole series of artists. My guess is that you probably should go to a particular website to find out about this. How do people get tickets and get along to see it?
Yeah, so they can just log on to the website for Metanoia, and that's www.metanoiatheatre.com.
Great.
And online you'll be able to see the shows that are on.
Yep.
And you can just book tickets online.
Fantastic. So Metanoia is spelt Metanoia, if you're wondering at that. I'll put a link on the Facebook page. It's been great talking to you today, Lauren. I'd really love to hear perhaps how your residency goes. So I hope you'll contact us when you come back from Iceland.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Good luck with Unseen. That's Lauren Simmons, everybody, at Metanoia Institute, the gallery institute in Brunswick. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
And now it's time for John On.
And thank you to the Missing Swanee.
Mm.
Sally, often I start these little raves with many years ago.
Yes. Are you going to do that this time?
I'm indeed going to do that this time.
Okay. Well, do you want me to do it for you?
Would you mind?
No, not at all. Many years ago.
I got a phone call from a man called Brett Gallagher in Melbourne. He rang me up and he said...
I know Brett Gallagher. He's a builder, isn't he?
Yeah. And he said, I'm going to take a beautiful old boat, a Scottish boat from the 1920s, up to Queensland, and wonder whether or not you want to enjoy part of that trip. And I stuck my hand straight up and went up to Melbourne, and we lived on the boat for a week or so whilst doing preparatory jobs on it. Which was lovely enough, really.
Was it summer?
No, it was more. It was about this time of the year.
Ooh,
actually.
So it was quite cold.
Yeah. And then one night we set off. The Larwell brothers came with us,
David and
Sam, and Rupert.
Rupert Gailey.
Yeah.
Rup, as we all know him.
Rupert Gailey came along, and Dennis Wilkins, and a red-haired Irishman who was the cook, and he was fabulous, and Philip Grundy came along as well, a very experienced sailor.
Is he of television fame, Grundy's?
No.
No, just a Grundy.
Yeah. The Kirkpatrick's Hotel fame in Mornington, I think.
That's fairly famous.
We anchored off Portsea for a night and then set off at dawn out into the wild blue yonder. And
turned left at Point Nepean.
Yep. Things got pretty interesting around there.
I bet they did.
And we set off, and the boat is a beautiful thing. My own task on the job was to be on deck between midnight and about 4 a.m. Grundy and I doing that, and so we were sort of asleep for most of the daylight mornings.
Yep.
But the night trip was absolutely wonderful. But we got up around Eden after staying at Refuge Cove in Wilson's Promontory.
I've heard lots of sailors talk about Refuge Cove.
Bit
I believe
of fishing.
It's an exquisite spot, yes.
A couple of glasses of wine.
Yes, because it's very sheltered.
Hmm.
Yes.
And then off Eden... We were heading toward Eden, and a big black fin in the water.
Ooh.
Massive black fin in the water.
Like whale-sized?
Well, orca.
Orca-sized, even better.
And we noticed this and we hove to. That's a nautical term, sorry.
Yes. Tell us what it means, John.
Well, we pointed the boat at the wind, so she stopped. And watched this fin going around, which was describing a large circle in the ocean surface. And it did that for a while. And then suddenly the circle started to get smaller and the fin started going faster.
Were you in the centre of the circle?
No, no, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
And suddenly out of the centre of this circle came the other orca, which burst out through the ocean with a dolphin in its mouth.
Oh, my goodness. Which really?
It bit in half in front of us.
Spectacular.
Well, it was spectacular, all right. But there was quite a lot of blood and violence and excitement going on. So braced with that, we went into Eden and went up the pub, told the story. While we were there, we put on board two New Zealand sailors who had agreed to meet Brett in Eden, and they were doing their sextant studies for the New Zealand Navy, and they wanted to. They did the trip from Eden up to Sydney on the Ron of Argyle, practicing their sextant work, and got to Sydney, got off. Brett, it turns out, got a letter from the New Zealand Navy saying, thanks for taking the boys up the coast. They've both passed their sextant exams. In order for us to gazette them, they need to have done that under a New Zealand naval commander. And will you accept an honorary command in the New Zealand Navy?
No way.
So he was suddenly Brett Gallagher on com NZ Nav.
Fabulous.
I was a clean-shaven young man at the time, and Brett and I grew mustaches and took his on-com nav, NZ nav, to the Naval and Military Club in Melbourne and had a drink.
Fabulous.
Which was the only thing he ever got out of it, I think.
Do you have a photograph of you two like
no,
that?
Oh,
I'd love to see that. That would be very funny. How brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have heard, I saw a film some time ago, a documentary about orcas, and they were they had discovered that these things, I mean, biting a dolphin in half is pretty spectacular, but apparently they'll take on huge white pointers as well, and will kill and eat enormous, well, like 9-foot white pointers as well.
Famously, a white pointer that had been fitted with a satellite tracking system off Western Australia was taken by an orca and
that's how they
dealt with at considerable depth.
Yes, yes, that's we must have seen the same film. That's the same story. Brilliant. Okay, then we're going to go to a little track now, which is actually Cliff put me onto some time ago, which will be kind of surprising when you listen to the content of it. It's called Gay Pirates, and it's Cosmo Jarvis, I think. Victoria Ryle is on the line at the moment to talk to us about a project that brings kids and publishing colliding in a holiday workshop at the Abbotsford Convent between the 28th of June and the 1st of July. It's called The Grand Imaginarium. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning, Sally.
Thank you for coming on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Tell me, what is The Grand Imaginarium?
Okay, so The Grand Imaginarium is, I suppose, our grand imagining about what happens if we take the work that Kids Own Publishing have done for many, many years, and that is providing a child rights, giving opportunities for children's stories to be told and giving children a voice. And if we embed that into a richer, imaginative environment that really lets their imaginations loose and sort of gives them a very strong message that you can think outside your normal realm. And so it's a bit of an experiment for us, and so far the children are giving it a resounding thumbs up.
I think it's just extraordinary. As soon as you sort of empower kids with the opportunities, like democratising all these things that enable them to actually get involved with projects like this and with publishing, how brilliant. How empowering is that?
Indeed, yes. And I suppose what we're doing is we're turning that, as you say, it's very much democratizing the publishing process, and we're literally turning it upside down and going, you know, largely to people who do not have a voice, which, of course, children tend to be in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And the school holiday program is very much about the public accessing it. But what it does is it supports our work with very marginalized, disadvantaged communities, where we give those communities a voice through the publishing process so their stories can be told in a range of ways.
Tell me, who is Kids Own Publishing?
Okay, well, we're a small not-for-profit charity, social purpose organisation, and we're based at the Abbotsford Convent. The concept originally began actually in the mid-90s in Ireland, where it still goes. And we've published close to, between Ireland and Australia, close to 200 books, which all have an ISBN, so they're properly registered and lodged in state and national libraries where they're produced. So they're very much real books with a status. And so that work's been going on for a long time. And alongside that, we've developed really a whole toolkit of different ways that children can create and publish their own books. At home, in their communities, in local libraries, at festivals, in a whole range of contexts.
Fantastic. So this workshop that's going to be running up at the Abbotsford Convent over the school holidays, how does it work? What happens?
Okay, so this is the second sort of main season outing of the Grand Imaginarium. It's a pop-up space. So at the Abbotsford Convent, in the first week of school holidays, it's actually sited in the old ironing rooms of the convent.
Mm-hmm.
So we've set it up as a laundry environment. So you come in and you walk through sheets. So it's about really changing the way children think about what they're doing by creating this rich space. So we've had a lovely artist who we've worked with quite a lot called Mardi Thorpe, who is part of the Theme Collective. And she has set the theme for this Grand Imaginarium. And then we bring on board a Grand Imaginator.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps not many children will have encountered a Grand Imaginator, but the Grand Imaginator is somebody who's very good at really facilitating children's imaginations to be unleashed. And it is their job to steer the children through the process of actually making and publishing their own book on site, so that when they leave the Grand Imaginarium, they're actually taking a published book home, albeit on a very small scale of publishing, but it's still that sense of you know, wow, I published my own book.
Yeah, and as a collective, the group of children publish a book in combination, or are they publishing their own work?
Well, actually, it varies.
Right.
It can be either, or both, right. Even. So sometimes it's about a child, they have their story and they want to tell it, but also as part of the group, they might tell a story together. Drop-in public workshops tend to be more about the individual creating their own book,
yeah.
But we also have a schools program, and in the schools program it tends to be more about the group coming together and collaborating on a story or a book together.
All great things for young kids. So what are the ages?
It's targeted really at 5 to 12-year-olds, so very much the primary school age group, and of course, the actual activity of creating your own book is something that can be done at any age. So sometimes we do end up working with children with their parents who are younger, and obviously older kids can easily get involved. And sometimes it's about siblings and families coming together.
Yeah, and great ages to actually sort of inspire and teach cooperative skills. Fantastic.
Yes.
How do people get involved if they want to do it?
Okay, well, the easiest way is just to go to our website, which is kidsownpublishing.com, and you'll find the Grand Imaginarium flagged up there on the first page. So just click on the link and it will give you all the details.
Wonderful. And the dates again, is it the 28th of June to the 1st of July?
That sounds right for
yep,
the Abbotsford Convent. Though I should also say that
yep.
This school holidays, it's popping up down in Berwick at the old cheese factory. As part of the City of Casey's winter arts festival. And there the Grand Imaginator is Michael Camilleri, who is an award-winning illustrator. His book, 1 Minute Silence, won Prime Minister's Literary Award last year. So we're actually having two incarnations of the Grand Imaginarium.
That's very exciting. And I assume that if people go to your website, kidzonepublishing.com, they're going to find both of those events there?
Yes, they'll find a link to both events. And for the one in Berwick also, just bear in mind you can go to the City of Casey's website and find out about the Winter Arts Festival there.
Sensational. It sounds like a really wonderful, wonderful program. Congratulations. I hope you get lots of people. I believe it's filling up fast. So if you're interested to go along, listeners, or you have a child or somebody you know who might be interested to go along, get onto that website soon. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Victoria Ryle.
That's my pleasure. Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
And that is for those people who can't get there, it's really worth checking out the app we've developed that allows you to publish your own book at home or through home, and it's called WePublish, and it's for the iPad, and it's just a great little tool for parents and children or older children creating and designing their own little 8-page book that they can actually print out, fold up.
Amazing. That's on your website?
Yes, the link to that's also on our website.
Thank you so much. The Grand Imaginarium returns, everybody.
Yes.
Thank you, Victoria.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And now is the time for our great leader, blogger, actor, commentator, criticiser, and general fun guy, Cliff Ellen. Hi, Cliff. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sally. Hi, John.
Hello, Cliff.
Uh-oh, he's waving one of my posters. I'm slightly scared.
I didn't get a big introduction from you last week, John.
No.
This is much more healthy.
Well, it's more suiting to your great eminence, don't you think, to be given a bit of a wind-up?
I wish. I just got a call from a lady who wants her daughter's friend to meet me to talk about how to become an actor. Oh, goodness me. I said...
Where are you going to start?
I said, tell her to ring me and we'll work out a date and a time. Ah, it's a hard one. It's such, you know...
Start reading. That'd be my advice.
Everybody's got a different path, would be mine.
Do everything you can, basically, that's all. And you've got to really be into it. If you're not, if it's just to be famous or whatever, you've got no hope.
Yeah.
No.
But more to the point, vote one Sally for Dunkley.
I know.
I can't get to Frankston, so the leading question is, well, I asked one question last week. I said, why are you standing? Because you can't win.
That's right. No, it's very, very, very unlikely that I will have won. And, of course, we're going to air after I had won. Hopefully I have won. However, I'm standing because I think that it's important to raise the awareness amongst everybody that the arts are very important and we're all invested in them and we all have an interest in whether or not they are funded and kept, because it's our property, it's our community asset, the arts, and we're teaching, you know, our young children to communicate, basically. If none of us can communicate, then what hope have we got as a civilization? And I think that is one of the great roles that the arts plays in society, is to actually enable us to communicate about things and important and complex things.
See, so, just like John Fain, I didn't chip in to stop you. But the burning question for me is, I've voted already.
Yep.
And after I came out, maybe 2 hours after I came out, I couldn't remember who I put between 2 and 6.
Oh, well, I hope you put the...
I knew I remembered who I wouldn't vote for.
Yep.
But I couldn't remember the order of the others. So just one question.
Yeah.
Who is number 2 in your preference?
We're not doing preferences at all. We're really a non-political political party.
Thank goodness for that, because that worried me.
No.
I was almost going to go to Frankston to see, because...
No.
There's that inference that if you put either Liberal or Labor second, it was the inference that it would have some sort of an effect.
Yeah.
That's all.
No, we just want to register the fact that people consider the arts to be important and they want the incoming government to consider the arts.
Fair enough. Understand, of course, Cliff, that there's every chance that by the time we go to air, Sally will have been elected.
Yes, that's true.
And we'll have to do the show.
I may actually already be the representative for Dunkley.
And from miracles. Now on, we'll be doing the show from the RPP studios in Canberra.
Yeah.
Miracles can happen, but as I told you. It would be a miracle if Labor got up, to be quite honest.
Yes, I know. Things are looking...
You went to the MTC. What show did you see?
I went and saw Skylight.
Who was in it?
Colin Friels. And
yeah, it's reviewed today. It got a pretty good review.
Did it? Yeah. Yes. Look, it's quite an interesting play, I think. I love those plays where you really get inside people's heads. And that certainly did. And I'd never seen Colin Friels on stage, actually, so it was kind of interesting to see him. Fabulous, fabulous set.
Yeah, Colin Friels is pretty good.
Yeah, actually. He is pretty good. They were both very good, and I'm sitting here squirming because the woman's name, it's Samantha, and I can't remember what her last name was. She was pretty good too. What did you hear about it?
No, I heard it was okay.
Yeah.
He's a bit erratic, Colin Friels, but I heard he was really good in this.
Yeah.
David Griggs, The Events at the Malt House. It's till July.
The Event.
Yeah, The Events, with an S.
Yep.
Catherine McClements and Johnny Carr. It could be Carr. I can never read what I'm writing. Based on the mass shooting at Norway in 2011.
Ooh.
Got 4 stars, directed by Claire Watson. Look, I believe there's a lot of good stuff in it, a lot of good stuff that makes you think. Some people don't like to go to the theatre and think, but most of us do.
Most of us do. That's the reason we do go to the theatre, because we want to think.
If you don't want to think, you go and see a musical.
Musical, that's right.
And that's quite reasonable too.
Yeah, quite.
You know, the Helpman Award nominations are out, always boring. You know, they have an award for everything. Mm. It's a wonder they don't have an award for going to the bloody toilet. I mean, honestly.
Well, maybe they do down at the bottom of the list. Perhaps
maybe toilet training, they have an award for that, you know. But the best musicals for those people that like the relaxed, Fiddler on the Roof, Sound of Music, Matilda, obviously, and Ladies in Black. Has Ladies in Black been on yet? I wasn't sure.
It's coming on, isn't it? This is the Tim Finn...
I think
you were talking about
it
a while ago. Perhaps it's returning.
But, you know, the Helpmans are Sydney, so you lose track.
You do lose track.
The best play, I'll read them out. We might as well. The best direction of a play, Eamon Flack for Ivanov, that was at Belvoir. Kip Williams, Love and Information, that's STC, and the Malt House Theatre.
Yep.
And, of course, Simon Phillips' MTC thing, North by Northwest, which is being repeated, I think, coming on again. Best female, I'm only reading out the ones that I think are important. Best female actor in a supporting role, Anna Sampson.
Oh, Anna Sampson, she's the one that was, not Samantha, I was right, that's in Skylight.
Yeah, I knew I'd come to it sooner or later. Katrina Milosevic, Michelle Donkey, Sarah Pierce. Mm-hmm. Best male actor in a supporting role, Colin Friels, John Howard, Mark Leonard Winter. Mark Leonard Winter is terrific.
He is terrific. He was absolutely stellar in Birdland.
Big star on the horizon.
Yep.
Best female actor in a play. I prefer to call it actress because I was born way back in the 1930s.
Yep.
Kate Blanchett, of course. Oh, God.
Oh, really? Surprise, surprise.
Catherine McClements, Noni Hazelhurst and Paula Arundel. Best male actor, Dan Spielman, he's great. Mark Leonard Winter again, he's great. Picaro Zombie, I don't know him, and Richard Roxburgh, who I really like too.
And well, we're loving him in Rake, of course.
Every Thursday night, yes. Yeah. It's a bit of a problem this week because there's a new show starting which I can't remember the name of it. It's that one we really like that no one's ever heard of, which was on ABC 2 for 2 series. And it's now gone on to Foxtel. So popular, Foxtel has brought it.
Oh.
Employ iView, Cliff. I mean, that's the way around that. You can watch everything you want to watch.
Yeah, I've got to watch it on the computer.
On the computer, yeah.
Mm. I don't like doing that.
No, you need to have your comfy chair.
Best play, Peaceful Person and Ghetto Blaster, Prize Fighter. Best male actor in a supporting role, and only mentioned because he's a friend of mine, in a musical as Tyler Coppin again. That's all from the Helpman Awards. I've got nothing else to say. The election has thrown me off track.
Oh, never mind.
I'll be so glad it's over. The sooner the better.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'll be glued to the results on Saturday night to see how Sally Value has gone.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a song for you.
The arts will get in the Senate.
Before we play the song.
Yeah, I do hope so. Yes.
Cliff, I met Colin Fields once. Can I tell you a brief little...
Yes.
He barracks for Brisbane. Yeah, go ahead.
He and Judy Davis walked into Pellegrini's in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Many years ago, Sally.
Yeah.
She's a great actress.
Many years ago.
Yeah. And I was sitting in there and I was on a stool and I had a spare stool on either side of me. And Judy Davis said to me, "Would you mind moving down to that stool there so we can sit together?" And I said, "I'd rather sit right in the middle of you two." You know what she said?
What?
Well,
don't be stupid.
That's right. She's very... I've never worked with her, but she's got a very strong reputation like that.
All right, then.
Classy actress.
What are you doing for the rest of the day?
Nothing. What's today? Sunday.
Sunday.
Nothing.
Sunday. No, well, all right, then. Well, what about a song? Would you like a song?
Well, I did have a song which sort of connected up with the cold weather.
Yes.
But in view of all the bushfires in this particular place... It was called California Dreaming.
Yeah, so that might keep us a
iffy.
Bit warmer.
It's sort of either way now, you know?
Oh, yeah, let's hear it anyway.
California for pleasure with the lovely mamas and papas, but this part is real lovely.
I love it.
Go.
Bye, Cliff.
Bye, John.
See you later, Cliff. Lovely to see you. Love the mamas and papas.
Yeah, we do love the mamas and papas. And what about time for the news?
I wonder how much acid they were on when they recorded that.
Oh, not that much.
No?
No. Depends how you qualify it. They're not that much, I suppose.
They took a lot, apparently.
But they did. All right. Well, coming up for this week, we have, don't forget, Metanoia is on at the Institute in Brunswick, the Mechanics Institute in Brunswick. And that runs from the 25th of June, it opened yesterday, runs through to the 6th of August.
The Country and Western Landscape reimagined on at the MPRG. And
yes.
That'll be shifting into the Works on Paper Prize, which we'll start talking about soon.
Oh, my goodness me. Yes, we will. Okay. Now, big news, House of Mirrors down at MOFO. I know MOFO. MOFO's finished, MOFO. But the House of Mirrors, Christian Wagstaff and Keith Courtney's thing, was so successful, they're keeping it open for a while.
In Tassie?
In Tassie, and okay. Yeah. So if you're down in Tassie, go, and you haven't seen it yet, go.
Okay. Judy Singleton and Peter Ferguson, both friends of the show.
Yes.
Operating in the Rosebud Plaza from the 29th, June the 29th onward. I'm not sure for how long, but a little while. And that's to do with getting kids painting, essentially, making a big canvas banner.
Got to be a good thing.
Yep.
Holiday at the Grand Imaginarium, Abbotsford Convent, and also out in the city of Casey. We heard from Kids Own Publishing. That's a workshop for young kids. Go to Kids Own Publishing website to have a look at that if you've got some kids who might be interested in producing their own book.
Dagar, Sally.
Dagar, yes.
At headquarters.
Yes.
Mark Stewart and I went to the opening the other night, and we haven't spoken about it today, but we will next
week.
Oh,
brilliant. Great. We get Mark on too.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I have to say that there doesn't seem to be any shortage of funding for souffle and chocolate mousse and French champagne at the NGV.
Woohoo. Oh, okay. Yes. We'll see the big institutions. They're okay.
Yeah. And plenty of politicians there claiming that.
Oh, I bet they were. I wonder whether any of the coalition. Anyway, now they're still calling for entries for Space, which is the annual open exhibition at the Frankston Arts Centre. The deadline's July the 25th. If you want to put a piece of work in there and possibly vie for your very own exhibition there, contact the Frankston Arts Centre and ask for Miller.
Or go to the website.
Or go to their website, that's right.
Have a look at the cat in a spacesuit.
Yeah, that's right. If you've tuned in, you've just missed Arts About, but you can catch up on the show via podcast or even the repeat that is running on Wednesdays. Thanks for listening. You'll find a link to our Facebook page on the RPP website. Join us again next Sunday at 11. And remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art,
but we do know what we like. Thanks for that, Brody. And
sure,
what if it's
do.
Wednesday, Sally? You can't tell people they can pick it up on Wednesday if it's already Wednesday.
No. What?